Okay, is this okay? This is how I speak. I actually just was in here this week speaking to the high school chapel. This is where they do chapel. This is Phil and Jenny Gilardi Academy. And our church has been connected with this school for a while now. And it's awesome to be connected with them and partner with them. They use our building for some things. Now apparently we use their building for some things. And we're so thankful for the partnership that is here. We just believe God works such amazing things together, and it's just super special to be a part of that. I'm so thankful that I get to be, and so thankful that you get to be with me and with us. I'm not going to speak the message that I planned on speaking this week. I in fact got honked at on the way over here because I was reading my Bible in my car. trying to figure out what I should say on a day like this. What should happen on a day like this. I started my morning today. I showed up to the church, and I started praying. It's a good way to start. And I was praying specifically today, God, would you just help me to trust you? Would you just help me to trust you, Lord? And that was my big prayer. Sorry. Trusting God is a funny thing. Trusting anyone is a funny thing. This week I watched an interesting conversation between my wife and my daughter, Isabella. My daughter fell through a vent the other day and scraped up her leg, and she had a bunch of Band-Aids on her leg. And she loves Band-Aids, and then once they're on, she's petrified for the moment they're going to come off. Right? So she'll remind us every time we talk, good morning, Isabella. Yeah, we'll let my Band-Aids fall off on their own, right? Yeah, how was your breakfast, Isabella? Yeah, they'll probably fall off in the back, right? That's what's going to happen. Like, she's so careful about her Band-Aids. Like, don't touch them. Don't care. Go anywhere near them. And so Kendall the other day said, can I just look at one, Isabella? And she goes, no! You know, like fold her leg under her. I don't even know how she hid her leg. She hid her leg. And Kendall's like, no, can I just look? No. And Kendall eventually said, Isabella, do you trust me? Do you trust me? What does that mean, eh? If you have to trust someone, that means that you're putting yourself in their hands to some extent, a piece of you in them. They're going to now control if they can. You're giving them control of an aspect of your life. This morning when I came to church, that prayer of trust, I expanded on it. Said, Lord, I don't know what's going to happen today. And you do. And Lord, I want to be the person that you want me to be. I want to be the leader that you want me to be. And so, Lord, I pray that I wouldn't do everything just the way I want to do things. But Lord, would you ready me to do anything that you want me to do? In whatever circumstance. And I don't always, that's not always my same prayer. Sometimes my prayer is, Lord, I pray something great would happen today. Amen. You know, okay, let's get going. But right now we're in a season as a church. Last week we talked about making room for more. What if we made room for more? We talked about the idea and the reality that we're about to add a service to our church. We're making room practically for more people. By the way, we're switching from a 10 a.m. service to a 9:30 and an 11:15 service. So on February 7th, if you show up at 10 o'clock, you're late. you're super early. Yeah. Really early. An hour 15 for quick prayer. Okay, you know. And just so you know, that's what's happening. February 7th, we're going for it. And pardon? 7th.
Oh, February.
February 7th. February 7th, we're going. And we're going to be, that's when we start. And this has been something that honestly has kind of scared me all the way along. Can this happen? Will we be able to do it? Sometimes our past leaves us a little bit questioning about the future. Or what about, is everything okay? Or do some people not really want that? And some people do. And will it all be okay? Will some people leave the church? Will they go to some other church that only has one service and everyone gets to be together and you don't have to be? What will happen in that time? And so as soon as I knew that we were going to go in this direction, as soon as I felt what I believe is obedience to God take over my thought process and my mouth when I told you about it, as soon as I knew that was happening, I, in my mind, needed everything to be perfect. I need everything to go just right up until that time. Or else, what if it doesn't work? What if we don't get where we want to get? What if we don't, like a service like this, all of a sudden the power goes out? I'll tell you, as a pastor who's about to add an extra service, who is going to today talk about team and asking every single person to be on team so that we can carry it out, and who in the future weeks is going to be talking about money and saying we need to be investing in this so we can dream bigger and we can accomplish more and we can reach further. When as soon as all this happens and we're going to have a smaller congregation, if anyone at all, the pastor in me says, yikes. What's going to happen? Because, Lord, I know I told you I trusted you, but I need everything to be perfect if we're going to execute this well. I need everything to be perfect if we're going to carry out the plan that you've given me. Because you gave me the plan, God. You gave us the plan. So why aren't you helping us carry it out? Why are you shutting down the power in this important time where I need to talk to everyone and get them on board with what I'm thinking, God? God says, do you trust me? Do you trust me? Do you trust me, Evan? Do you trust me that I'm not doing anything to hurt this? Imagine me thinking, God, I'm trying to build momentum with the church. What are you doing? Imagine me thinking that. Imagine me considering that maybe we would be able to somehow build something that God couldn't. I was driving over here, and one of the scriptures on my mind was Psalm 127:1. Unless the Lord builds the house, the people labor in vain. Unless the Lord builds the house, the people labor in vain. We can work really hard if we want. In fact, we should work really hard whether we want to or not, as we work unto the Lord. Oh, we can work hard, we can try hard, we can do everything, we can put everything in place, we can set up all the systems, we can set up all the structures, I can push and believe for as many people to serve as possible, we can all give a little bit more time, a little bit more money, believe for a little bit more, bring a few more friends out, but unless the Lord builds the house, the people labor in vain. No point. Vain means no point. There's nothing that we're going to accomplish. We could get 500, 600, 700, 1,000 people in the room at Northgate Four Square Church, but unless the Lord has built it, it's all been in vain. And yet I believe the Lord's calling us to 500, 600, 700, 1,000 people at Northgate Four Square Church. I was then, as I remembered that verse, then I was reminded about a guy named Gideon in the church, in the Old Testament. He was one of the judges. Gideon is this guy who came along, and he was actually found the first time that we see about Gideon. He's actually down in a wine press getting wheat, threshing wheat, which is a useless thing to do. Threshing wheat needs to be done in the open air so that the wind can blow away the chaff, and so you can do the thing properly. And he's down underground in a wine press. He's there because he's scared. He's there because he's not sure about the future. He's sort of one of these guys who's unsure about his own steps. And you know, he hears his own voice and he gets a little bit jumpy. And he's not sure about what to do. And I'll just go and do my thing. And I'll do inefficient work because I'm so afraid. And I'll be kind of useless right now because of my fear. God comes up to him. You may know the story. God comes up to him and says, hey, mighty warrior. Wrong. Says, hey, mighty warrior. Gideon says, actually, no, you got the wrong guy. I'm the weakest in my family. My family's the weakest in the area, so go find the actual mighty warrior. Says, no, Gideon, I'm talking to you. I'm going to use you, and you're going to free your people from the Midianites. Midianites are these brutal people. He says, I'm going to use you, Gideon. Gideon says, I don't think I can. As we were driving here today, I Phil Gideon was coming onto my mind, into my heart, because if we want God to do something miraculous, we need to have a bit of an impossible scenario before us. We need a little bit of impossible in our life if we want to see God break through the impossible and make the impossible possible for us. When I just said 1,000 people, there were some gasps in the room. Don't say that. What if we don't get there? What if we don't accomplish that? What if we don't move to that place? No, churches aren't 1,000 in the Comox Valley. Maybe in Victoria, where you came from, they can get to 1,000. But churches don't get to 1,000 in the Comox Valley. I'm excited about that impossible situation. I'm excited about what God said. When the people of God look to the God that they serve. We believe it. We start to believe that in our hearts. But he's saying, do you trust me? Do you trust me? Gideon, do you trust me? Evan, do you trust me? Northgate, do you trust me? So Gideon said, okay, I guess so. So then, Chapter 7, verse 1 says, early in the morning, Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all his men camped at the spring of Herod. The camp of Midian was north of them in the valley near the hill of Moreh. The Lord said to Gideon, you have too many men for me to deliver Midian into your hands. That's just way too many men. This is only the Midianites, the most ruthless, nasty, cruelest group of people who's been walking through and devastating land, devastating people, devastating tribes, devastating clans. They've been wiping them out. You've got way too many people to kill them. He says, in order that Israel may not boast against me, that her own strength has saved her, announce now to the people, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead. So 22,000 men left, while 10,000 remained. Can you imagine that moment, Gideon? So you want me to go ask these people if they're afraid of the Midianites who will enslave all of us. And when they enslave all of us, we've seen the people that they've enslaved. They don't look the same. They're messed up. They used to do some nasty things to those people. They used to really brutally beat, cruelly treat these people. So you want me to go ask if anyone's afraid of them? Yeah, that's about right. Okay, guys, no reason to be, but just wondering, anyone, like, it's just a meeting, is anyone afraid? 22,000 hands go up. Let me ask that one more time, hands down. Now, we're pretty strong, look at me, anyone afraid? Really, is anyone afraid? 22,000, like, okay, well, God said, you all leave. God does this again until they're down to 300 people to fight the Midianites. 300 people. Gideon didn't think they could do it with 32,000. Now 300 people. Okay, God, you set up an impossible situation here. Now if we win, it's surely your win and not ours. Surely your win and not ours. So do you trust me? They win the battle. Gideon and his few people, they win the battle. They go with one of the worst strategies for war I've ever heard. You should read the story. Actually, if you read the Old Testament, you'll see very many terrible strategies for war. And they always win because the Lord commanded them. The Lord called them. Which reminds me, whatever our strategy is, flicking out the lights and going to a different church to try to get a little bit more excited, just kidding, we didn't do that. I was praying, Lord, how can we get some momentum here? Oh, yeah. No, I didn't. It's all over. Whatever our strategy is, we could think about all the different things and we could try to do all the different stuff and put everything in place, and we will. But it's not our strategy that's going to reach the lost. It's not our strategy that's going to set people free. It's not our strategy that's going to heal the sick. It's not our strategy that's going to provide signs and wonders wherever we go. It's not our strategy that will have the newspaper asking us why so many people are having healthy marriages in our church, and why so many people have kids who actually like their parents, and why so many people are returning are finding jobs again and finding freedom from addiction again. And why are so many things happening at that church? It won't be because of our strategy. It won't be because we've got all of our ducks in a row and got all the right people and empowered all of them in the right places and made sure that they all gave the right amount of money and did all of those things. No, those are all things that we're going to fight for and try to do our best at. That won't be what saves the Comox Valley. Unless the Lord builds the house, the people labor in vain. Do you trust me, Northgate? Do you trust me, says the Lord? Do you trust me that I can walk you through this? Trust me that the dreams I've placed in your heart, you'll see them through to completion. Do you trust me that I will walk you to the next level? I will see you to the next height. Do you trust me? Worship team, why don't you come join us one more time? Next week, we'll have these clipboards. People can sign up for teams. I want everyone to be involved in this church. Funny thing is that as I was just here in worship, I said, yeah, so am I just speaking this then, Lord? Got a number of messages on my mind for the next few weeks. Maybe I'll grab the mic now. I've got a number of messages on my mind for the next few weeks. Last week was one. It's the announcement. Telling you that we're going to a second service. I want to speak on team. I'd like to speak on small groups. Getting involved in a small group. Becoming part of one. These are things we care about. This morning, as I was sitting here, and God was saying to me, do you trust me? I felt Him kind of stirring in my heart to just in response to this, even with the smallest group that we'll have in the next weeks leading up to our second service and in the weeks leading through this vision, casting time, I felt like I'm supposed to ask you, do you trust Him enough to give financially? That's the trust piece. That one hits home. Here we are, I said there's momentum, now I'm talking money. Pastors shouldn't do that. I think they should. Because I believe that we, when we put our money behind something, we believe in it. When we invest in something, we're expecting something's going to come of it. When we pour ourselves into something and then also pour our money into it, all of a sudden that means it pinches a little. We don't actually maybe get that coffee that we wanted to have. Maybe we don't get that car as soon as we wanted that we wanted to have. Maybe there's some big thing in your heart that you really want for yourself, but you know God's saying, it's time right now to invest in the church that I'm building in the Comox Valley. Here we are at this moment in a school, not even in our building. And I'm telling you, the vision for our church that God has given me is beyond the amount of money that we have. And I'm asking God for that money. I'm asking God to do something miraculous. I'm asking God to do something incredible. In the Comox Valley, I'm asking Him to carry out the plans that He's put in my mind, in my heart. I'm asking Him to do something greater. In fact, we're going to ask Him in just a moment for that all together, because I believe that God's got everything. He's got all the resources. He's got all that we need. He's got everything sitting there. And He's distributed it amongst us. He's given it to us and said, will you be faithful? Will you trust me? Will you trust me? Will you trust me? Wouldn't it be great if God said, here's one person with a whole lot of money? No, I don't think it would. Because right now I look at the story of Gideon, And it took 300 people doing the exact thing that God asked them to do, which was foolish in the moment. And is what was required to carry out the plans that God had. Some of you in these coming weeks are going to feel like God's asking you to give foolishly, ridiculously sometimes, to the work that God has in this church. I'm asking you, do you trust Him? He's asking you, do you trust me? Will you get on board with this? Will you believe that I can take care of you? Will you let it pinch a little bit? Will you give beyond sometimes what you think you should give? So that I can do the work. Like I said last week, our series right now is called What If We? Not because I believe that we can do something God can't do, but I believe that God is going to do what He's going to do when the people He's asked to do what He's asked them to do, do it. We say, God, do something. Bless us. Kendall and I have felt the pinch this year for sure. God, will you just do something? Will you just grow this church? We want more people, Lord. We want more small groups. We want more servant-hearted people. We want more testimonies from workplaces. We want more testimonies in families. We want more stories of what you're doing on the streets. We want more of that. And we want more money, Jesus. Would you just do it? And God's looking at us and saying, what are you doing? To myself and to Kendall. But we've started to have to feel the press a little bit ourselves because I believe in this. This isn't just a job for me. I believe that God's got great and mighty plans for the Comox Valley. I promise you I would not be here if I didn't believe that. I would not stick around if I didn't believe that. I could find more fame elsewhere. I could find more money elsewhere. But God's got me here because He's planted a dream in my heart. I believe He's planted it in your heart too. So I'm asking, would you, in these coming weeks, pray, Lord, what do you want to do through me? I'm not going to tell you what to give. I'm going to tell you that God wants you to give. He wants you to be a part of this with us. So if we all did a little, something great would happen. If we all did a lot, something great would happen. Wouldn't it be so amazing if the city started looking at us? Say, why does the church have so much money? We say, because God has a lot of blessings for us and His people have a lot of obedience for Him. And they believe in what He can do and they'll invest in it. They'll pour themselves into it. We're not going to, right now, there's two responses. One, I want you to go to your husband or your wife. Or if you're single, to yourself. Or you can talk to a friend. For your family, talk to your whole family. Walk through the process together. This is one of the responses. Start to talk to each other and say, hey, what do you think God's calling us to give on a monthly basis, on a regular basis, so that the church can not only dream up things, but can actually plan to carry out those dreams? What would we give? What should we give on a regular basis to the work that we say we believe in and we show up and get inspired by every week? What would we give to that? And don't be afraid of what God might say. He might say something beyond what you think you would have said. In fact, I think He will. And I'm going to ask you that when He says it, you respond to this question. Do you trust me? Do you trust me? Do you trust what I'm doing? Do you trust what the plan is for your life, for this church? The other response, maybe right now, some of you are saying, you know what, I wish I could give to this right now. I want to tell you about a new thing that we have at the church. Didn't plan on telling you about it today, but we're going to. We have a new way of giving, and I've been using it, and it's super helpful. If you text on your phone to the number 77977, text Engage Church. You can give right there. You can set up a recurring giving right then. Right there. You can give one time, or you can give for for the rest of time, which is my preference. But go ahead, you can do that right now. Why don't you pull out your phone? If you feel like that's something that I'd like to do, or you just want to check out this new thing we have, you can pull out your phone and type in the number that you're going to text to is 77977. That's the phone number of, I don't know what. That's the phone number of Northgate's open hands to go and give to others. But 77977. And write Mgate Church, all one word, all lowercase. And then just follow the prompts. You can give them. There's things that I want to do. I want to buy shirts for people so that when someone shows up to the church, they can walk in and they can see a whole bunch of, maybe not bright green, like the kids' team, but red shirts is what I'm picturing. Our color sort of has become red. I picture a whole bunch of people in the lobby with red shirts saying, I can help you. Imagine a brand new person walking in and saying, I like this. They already want to help me. And there's lots of them. And they can come in and come and be a part of what's going on. I believe that I want to have umbrellas. Seriously. I want red umbrellas in the parking lot. I'd love people to drive by our church and say, what? That church cares so much about people that they're not going to let the ladies who do up their hair nice, or the men who do. I just don't know about that anymore. But they're not even going to let them walk in the rain because they've got umbrellas and they branded them Northgate. That's incredible. I want to do some of these things. Some of the stuff that it's going to take for us to build the second service and create some momentum behind it and get people coming and checking it out and being part of it with us is going to take money. I wonder if some of you might just say, I'm not sure about the monthly giving yet, I'm not sure how much I'd give, but if today you say, I sure want to invest in this, jump on there. Or show up to the office and say, here, God told me I need to give this amount of money so that we can get building together. So that we can get moving together. And we can follow through on the dreams that God has given us. Today, let us hear in Comox, not even our city, maybe some of your city, but not our churches, in a school, not even our building, let's pray a prayer of faith. Faith for your own heart, faith for my own heart, faith for our church, and faith for the Comox Valley, that God is going to do something incredible. We're going to be a part of it. God of big dreams. Would you, Lord, convict us of every time that we've thought the only thing that you could accomplish is what we could accomplish? Lord, I pray that we would live in the place where we are expecting things that we could not do to happen. We are expecting things that we could not accomplish to happen. We are expecting a church that we could not build to be built. We are expecting people that we could not reach to be reached, Lord. Jesus, I pray that we would have such faith. We'd expect such incredible things, Lord, that you would fill our hearts so full. And Lord, that we would start having testimonies of things that we had no idea could ever happen. Jesus, you are inspiring. You have us on this planet to be inspired by you so that we can reach others. Lord, help us to do it. Help us to do it. Help us to do it, Jesus. I pray for those right now who feel like they've got something in their mind, a number in their mind of how much they should give to this church so that we can get things moving, of how much maybe they need to be giving on a monthly basis. Lord, I pray against any fear or doubt in this time. I pray for faith that people would say, Jesus, if you call me to, I will. Lord, if you ask me if I trust you, I say I do. And I will go where you call me to go. Because of that, just like Gideon, we will be victorious. We will be victorious. Praise your name, Jesus. I pray for incredible testimonies to come out of this time in Phil and Jenny Gilardi Academy. We believe. Thank you for this special day, Lord. This is a special day for Northgate, Four Square Church. Thank you for this special day.